Blog Talk Radio.
There's none like you, Jesus. There's none like you. There's none like you, Savior. None like you. There is none like you, Jesus. There's none like you. There's none like you, Master. None like you. There's none like you, Jesus. There's none like you. There is none like you, Savior. None like you. You are the only one, Jesus. You are the only one. You are the only one, Savior. You are the only one. There's none like you, Jesus. There's none like you. There's none like you, Savior. None like you. Yes, Lord. We thank you, Lord. There's none like you, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, have your way now. I bless your people through your word in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Y'all, welcome to the Our Miracles Radio and TV Ministries of Jesus Christ Global Mission, presenting the Rhema Bible College online class tonight. We're going to be discussing the ministerial gifts of the Holy Spirit, which is very important. The purpose of this is for many people who have not been familiar with these courses before to have the opportunity to listen to these teachings that are a blessing to everyone. Wherever you are, joining us on any of the social media, by phone, by whatever, you are welcome. I tell you, God is doing a new thing. And we are all going to enjoy the word of God tonight. Hallelujah. Yes, we're going to be talking about the ministerial gifts. And we have as our text, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, from verse 8 to 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Pastor Ralph said, do you think you can read? Can you read 1 Corinthians chapter 12? Verses 8 to 11?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, read it for us, please.
Okay, let me see the brothers. You open the book.
First Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 to 11.
Yes, First Corinthians
chapter 12.
Okay, yes, I'm looking for chapter 4. Okay. sons.
Yeah.
Well, in the position of sons.
Yeah.
Verse 11.
Yeah.
What this work that one and the selves they did, writing to every man separately as he.
Okay, so you can stop that. You can stop that. Yeah, we're going to read the rest later. We're talking about the ministerial gifts, and we just read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 11. These gifts are the tools. They are the equipment we use for ministry. It's like when you say, I'm going to walk. And then you needed to take your pen or your biro, or you take your equipment, the equipment with which you will do the work. Those equipment are very important. The mechanic, if you go to the mechanic workshop, you will see equipment with which the mechanic is using to work.
Hello, Bishop.
If you go to the hospital, you will see equipment the doctors are using to do their work. If you get to where engineers are constructing roads, you will see tractors they are using to bulldoze the road. No? So there are equipment for every work, for every profession. Now they talk about the lawyers. The lawyers have their books. They have their law books. And then we pastors and preachers, we have the Bible, which is the word of God. But in ministry, doing this ministry, you need equipment. You need spiritual equipment. Okay. Let those two phones be separate from each other. The two telephones should not be near each other. That's why it's making that noise. Those two telephones, let's separate them a little bit. Distance the two telephones from each other. All right. So, the instrument to do the work. A musician will need a guitar. A musician will need a keyboard. You know? Oh, yes. So there are equipment to be used for the work. So now in ministry, we need the gifts of the Holy Spirit. To be able to do this work. It is the living Holy Spirit. Let it be you in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, let it be you in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, let it be you in the name of Jesus. It is the reason why Jesus told the disciples. If you're coming here in Jerusalem, to hear the endued with power from on high. Coming here in Jerusalem, Luke 24:49. Coming here in Jerusalem, until you hear the endued with power from on high, the power to do this work. If you don't have the equipment, how are you going to do this work? And so the gifts of the Spirit are like equipment. So here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8 to 11, it talks about denying Jesus of the Holy Spirit. These nine gifts of the Holy Spirit are meant for us to use for the ministry, for the church, for the work of the Lord, to win souls. It's true that many people are commercializing these gifts, but by the grace of God, we are not going to commercialize the gifts of God. We are going to just use the gifts of God to do the work of God, to bring souls to the Lord Jesus Christ, and let God bless us. Amen? Yeah, let God bless us. Let God reward us. Now, look at the gifts one by one. I'm talking about wisdom. The gift of wisdom. You know, King Solomon, you know, he had the gift of wisdom. Wisdom, the ability to know what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. With wisdom, you can lead with wisdom. You can teach with wisdom. You can know what step to take next, what to do. So every minister of the gospel, whether you are a pastor, evangelist, Bible teacher, apostle, prophet, bishop, archbishop, whatever you ask from the school teacher, deacon or deaconesses or elders, whatever you are, you need the gifts of the Spirit to be able to function effectively. And here he talks about the gift of wisdom. Wisdom to lead the people. There is a wisdom to lead. That is why when Solomon became king, the first prayer he prayed, he said, God, give me wisdom to be able to lead these people in the rightful way. So many people don't pray that prayer. The wisdom to lead people, wisdom to pastor people, wisdom to bring people together and lead them and teach them and admonish them and bring them up in the fear of God. Many people don't ask for it. And because of it, there is so much confusion in the house of God. There is so much confusion. Wisdom will make you know what step to take. Look at Solomon as an example of a man of wisdom. Two women said they owned the same child, because that was number one case he handled. After that prayer at Gibeon, two women said they owned the same child. It's a very serious case. Two women, they said that they owned the same child. How can two women be the mother of the same child? It's not possible. So there was confusion. And so wisdom began to play in the head of Solomon, because God has given him wisdom. He asked for wisdom. The Bible says, if anyone lack wisdom, let him or her ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally. God is very, very willing to give wisdom. And so King Solomon said, you know what? I want somebody to bring a knife and cut this side into two halves. So you take one half. So you, this woman, take one half. So one of the women shouted, hey, that is good. Yes. Yes, that is very good. We are going to divide the child into two. So that woman said, you're going to take half of the child, and then me, I'm going to take half of the child. Everybody was laughing. Then the other woman fell down and began to cry. He said, no, no, no. You don't have to cut my child. He's like that, leave the child alone. Let everybody, just leave that child, please. How can you go and cut my child into pieces? King Solomon said, this is the real mother of the child. You see, that is wisdom. wisdom to lead, because that was the first prayer King Solomon prayed. The first prayer he prayed when he ascended the throne. He said, Lord, grant to me, my father David is dead and gone. And now, I am Solomon, I'm now the new king. Then he prayed, he said, Lord, grant me wisdom that I may be able to lead your people in the rightful way. The Bible says, and that prayer pleased God. That is the only prayer in the Bible that pleased God. Then God said, Solomon, I thought you were going to ask for the life of your enemies. I thought you were going to ask for other things. You are asking for spiritual things first. Now, not only have I granted this wisdom, I've added wealth and riches and honor and grace. See, these are very important things we need to look into. How many people pray for wisdom? Wisdom in the ministry, wisdom in the church, wisdom to pastor people. You think you can just pastor people? You think you can just lead people? You think you can just, there should be a wisdom to say the rightful word, a word of consolation, a word that will minister grace to the people, a word that will give their life. Some people, they want to preach on Sunday or preach to the church. They don't even pray. They just carry the Bible and preach. You don't even know what the Spirit of God wants to say to the people. You just carry the Bible and preach. So wisdom is better, is the principal thing. The principal thing, Proverbs chapter 4, 5, King Solomon America says the principal thing in life is wisdom. The wisdom to be a successful evangelist, the wisdom to be a successful pastor, the wisdom to be a successful Bible teacher, the wisdom to be a successful apostle and prophet, a minister of the gospel, a successful bishop. How do you succeed without wisdom of God in your head? Number two, the word of knowledge. The second gift there is the word of knowledge. The word of knowledge is the ability to know things. The ability to design things, to know, to have knowledge of something. You saw it in Prophet Elisha. Gehazi went and packed those things and he went to hide it. Prophet Elisha, a man of God who has the knowledge, the gift of word of knowledge, he was able to tell that somebody is cheating. And it was saying in the Acts of Apostles, when Peter was sitting in the temple, Ananias and Sapphira. Ananias and Sapphira, they came to lie to the apostle Peter. And Peter, by the gift of the word of knowledge, he was able to design what was going on in the realm of the spirit. And he said it. Peter said, Apostle Peter said, why have Satan filled your heart? Acts of Apostles chapter 5. Acts of Apostles chapter 5. Say, why have Satan filled your heart to come and lie in the church? Lie to the Holy Spirit. Then the Bible says, the power of God slayed it. Slayed Ananias and Sapphira, and they fell down and died. And the fear came upon the early church, and people respected God. The people decided to reverence God. You know, the word of knowledge. From the word of knowledge, you are able to gain insight into what is going on. You know, you are able to know things, you know, supernaturally. Then the third one is the gift of faith. Faith is the ability to believe God and trust God to do things. And of course, you see the definition of faith in Hebrews 11, verse 1. Someone read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. You have read, let's Pastor Evans, you read, for us. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1.
Hebrews chapter 11.
Verse 1.
Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen.
Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Amen.
Pastor Raphael, did you see? Did you?
Yes.
Okay, read it in your own translation.
My own translation?
Yeah.
Just a minute.
Yeah. Pastor Evans, I've just read it and we understand it. Yes, faith is the evidence of things not seen, the substance of things hoped for. You haven't seen it yet, but you believe. You have faith, you have trust, confidence, and hope that God will do it. Did you find it yet?
Okay, let me read it.
Hebrews 11, verse 1.
It says that now faith is the substance of things hoped for.
Yes. The evidence
not seen.
Evidence of things not seen. Okay.
The evidence is this.
Hmm.
Can I
read verse 2? It's okay.
Verse 2?
No, not read verse 2. Verse 1 is okay.
Okay, thank you.
Now, faith is confidence, hope, and trust that God will do things when you have not seen it do it. It has not happened yet, but you believe. Let's say you are trying to build a church or build a house of God or something like that. It is by faith you're going to build that house. I know Pastor Raphael is still building the church in Kenya. Pastor Raphael, have you completed the church building in Kenya?
No, I've not yet completed.
Yeah, you are still working on the building. Okay, so by faith, you believe that this building shall be completed. You haven't seen it completed. You trust that God will help to complete it. You know, by faith, you pray for the sick. You pray for people in the church. You pray for their healing. You pray for their salvation. You pray by faith. You pray and you believe. You hope. You trust. And then God gives you the result. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Or maybe there is a need, financial need, or you need some help. It is by faith you believe God with prayers, and then God shows up. Oh, yes, God shows up, and he helps the situation and brings solution to the problem. Yet number four, the gift of healing. The gift of healing. Basically, every believer was told, say, you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's Mark 16, verse 15. Someone read Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, from verse 15. Anybody can read, please. Anybody can read. Mark chapter 16, from verse 16 to the end.
Mark 16.
Yes.
And he said, Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And he said unto them,
go on.
Mm-hmm. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be condemned. And this man shall follow that belief. In my name shall they cast devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly things, they shall not hurt them. They shall lay hand on the sick, and they shall recover. Amen.
Amen. Jesus is saying that you, the believer, you shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. This is even basic for every Christian. Every Bible-believing Christian is supposed to be able to lay hands on the sick, and then they shall recover. But the gift of healing goes further than that. The gift of healing has to do with the servant of God, the man of God, praying for the sick, and they recovering, and gaining their health, their deliverance, their healing. No, God confirming the word with signs, wonders, and miracles. The purpose is to draw people to the Lord. When people see such miracles, deaf ears open, blind eyes see, cripples walking, lepers are cleansed, and they see this healing taking place, then you see the move of God, and people begin to come to the Lord. You know, they come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and win souls to the Lord, and so on and so forth. The gift of healing is very important. We need to ask for the gift. Jesus said, if ye earthly parents know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your heavenly Father? You earthly parents, when your children ask you for bread, you don't give them stone. Your children ask you for fish, you don't give them a serpent. If you earthly parents know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more the Heavenly Father? Someone read Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 from verse 7 to 9.
Matthew chapter 7.
Yes, verse 7.
From verse 7 to 9. Yes. Mm-hmm. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. What man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Amen.
If your children ask you for a fish, you will not give them a serpent. If you earthly parents know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your heavenly Father? You see, so God is very willing to give out this gift, but he must act with a good purpose. The purpose to be to win souls to the kingdom. It is true that people are making merchandise. You know, people are making merchandise of the gifts of God, but I thank God we're not going to be like those people. So the purpose of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is to win souls to the kingdom of God. And then we talk about the gift of miracle, number five. Number five gift is the gift of miracle. Miracles are supernatural things that God performs, supernatural things that are beyond human imagination. For instance, a cripple on a wheelchair gets up to walk. That is healing, but this type of healing we can look at it as a miracle, like the dead being raised to life. Those are more of supernatural things. And Jesus performed so many miracles. And the disciples also did a lot of miracles. There are so many miracles in the Bible. But Satan is also doing miracles too. The only thing the devil can do is the devil does not have the fruit of the Spirit. You know, next week we're going to be talking about the fruit of the Spirit. There is the gifts of the Spirit. We are talking about the gifts of the Spirit, the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. Well, that's what we're talking about tonight. But next week, Saturday, Sunday, we're going to be talking about the fruit of the Spirit. See? The fruit of love, peace, long-suffering, patience, temperance, and all this fruit of the Spirit. Satan does not have those ones. Satan can perform miracles as well. That was why in the days of Moses, in the book of Exodus, when Moses came to Pharaoh's house to convince Pharaoh to let the people go, and Pharaoh was proving stubborn, Moses dropped his rod as a sign. The rod turned to serpent. Then the Bible says that the magicians of Egypt, the sorcerers, the magicians, the soothsayers, they also came out and they also dropped their serpents, and their serpents also, they dropped their rod also became serpents. The only difference was that the serpent of Moses swallowed up all the other serpents. Hey! I like that. I want you to interpret that thing. For the serpent of Moses to swallow the serpent of the magicians of Egypt and the sorcerers, the astrologers, I want you to explain it. Yes, tell us something, Pastor Ivan. Tell us something.
Yeah, I mean, what happened was that God wanted to prove to the Pharaoh that he is the supreme commander of heaven and earth, and all power belongs to him. And that is why the serpent of Moses was able to swallow the serpent of the Pharaoh, because God is the controller of all the powers. He is the omnipotent, omniscient, and omniscient. So he wants to prove to them that all power belongs to him. Because in those days, the whole world was looking up to the Pharaoh, powerful king. So
yes.
he believed in those days that he has all the power, but he didn't know that there's a power which supersedes his powers. And God of Israel proved to him that he has all the power. He is the supreme commander of heaven and earth, and that is why the Moses serpent was able to swallow the serpent of the Pharaoh. So that is my understanding about the whole incident. Amen.
Amen. Yes. So the power of God has swallowed up the powers of the magicians and the occultists and the sorcerers, the soothsayers. The power of God in Moses has swallowed up the other ones. See? So the devil also performed miracles. It's just that our own miracle is backed up by God, so God's miracles overshadow the miracles of the devil. Hallelujah. And we can only ask for the gifts of the Spirit by fasting and prayer. Fasting and prayer, you get the gifts of the Spirit. You fast and pray. And ask for the gifts, the nine gifts. Apostle Paul says, I have the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. We need to have the nine gifts. As servants of God today, we need to have the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit like the Apostle Paul. We need to have those gifts to operate in the ministry. Oh, yes, we need to have the gift of the faith. Another gift is the gift of prophecy, which we have discussed earlier. Prophecy is a gift. It's also an office. Prophecy, the ability to foretell, to tell things by the Spirit, by revelation. God gives you revelation, visions, and prophecies. Was it yesterday also? We talked about prophecy. We talked about Joel chapter 2, verse 27 and 28. In later days, God said he was going to pour his Spirit upon all flesh, and his sons and daughters shall prophesy, he shall see visions. So all that are the gifts of the Spirit. These gifts are there for us to use to convince the world of the God we have served, so that they will believe God. You remember Prophet Elijah? Elijah said, if your God is true, let him send fire from heaven. No fire came. So Elijah prayed and fire came down. And then the people said, the God of Elijah is the true God. The God of Elijah is the true God. The whole nation was converted. The whole nation was converted by that miracle. So you see what miracles can do. You see what miracles can do. That's the power you need. You need to ask God for the gifts of the Spirit, the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to move on. We're going to talk about designing of spirit. Designing of spirit, the ability to design the spirit. We need to be able to design, because there are all kinds of spirits out there. There are all kinds of spirits manifesting themselves in various ways. And these spirits, they are strange spirits. You know, we should be able to design. We should be able to design the spirits that we are coming across as we go ahead doing the work. You know, ministering and preaching and visiting and ministering to people, we should be able to design the various spirits that we are coming across, all kinds of spirits. If you don't design, then you if you don't design, then you become a loser. But by the grace of God, we shall be able to design the spirit. Design, you got to know what spirit is operating, And then number A, the diverse tongues, the ability to speak in tongues. Speaking in tongues is very important. We speak in tongues, Satan is confused, deliverance must follow. Amen, 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 amen. We bind the devil, losing God's power in this place. We speak in tongues, Satan is confused forever and ever. Amen. I like that song. Satan is confused. Satan is confused forever and ever. Oh, yes. You want to confuse Satan? Speak in tongues. Oh, yeah, you confuse him. Speaking in tongues is direct line. 1 Corinthians 14, say he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, speaketh not unto men, but unto God. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue, speaketh not unto men, but unto God. We call it direct line. Direct line. That direct line goes to God direct. Yes, I want to read 1 Corinthians 14, First Corinthians 14, verse 2. Yes, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. Someone read that for us.
1 Corinthians 14, verse 2.
Verse 2, yes.
For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. How be it? In the spirit he speaketh mystery. Amen.
Yes. Yes, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto man, but unto God. We call it direct lie. Have you seen people who tell you, well, my office has so many phone lines. My secretary has to pick up some of the calls, but this is my direct line. Have you had somebody tell you like that? This number is my direct line. Whereas in the office, there are so many lines. The secretaries are there picking up those phone calls and answering. But the person tells you, but I want you to call this line. This is direct. I want you to call this direct line. I would like to call the direct line because I don't want somebody to ask me questions. You want to go through the protocols and the secretaries are asking questions before they forward the call. But if you are talking to a boss on direct line, it's the best connection. So either speak it in tongues, speak it unto God, not unto men. I don't want to speak to men. I want to speak to God. When I speak to God, God will be moving. God will intervene. God will start doing things. Why are you speaking to men? What are you speaking? See, with men, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So what are you talking to people? What are you talking? What are you talking about? You know, he said, I don't want to. He said, he that speaketh unto men, he that prayeth in tongues. When you pray in tongues, you are speaking directly to God. You are not speaking to men. So who wants to speak to men? You? Okay, speak to people. Start speaking to people. You will speak to people until you are tired. They may not be able to answer your problem. But when you speak to God direct, the Almighty God who created you, he has the answer to your problem. He can meet your needs. He can intervene. He can solve that problem right now. Yes, he can do something about that situation. That is the person you should be speaking to. So he that speaketh in tongues, speaketh not unto men, but unto God. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. This is very important. You need to get on the direct line and stop going through this and that, going through secretaries, and going through protocol. No, there's no time for that. You see, the woman with the issue of blood, the Bible says she pressed through the crowd and touched the hem of his garment. She broke protocol. Because if you don't wait for somebody, the other day, they say somebody was looking for, want to see a particular man of God. So they started describing the process of seeing the man of God. The process. There is a process you must follow before you can see the man of God. And the process is going to take 3 weeks. The person will have to go to the church and worship there. He has to register as a member. He has to come to church up to 4, 5, 6 times before you will be allowed to go and see the man of God. By this time, the person never died. The protocol, Jesus Christ was available. He has touched the hem of his garment. Even the blind Bartimaeus and the poor people in the city, the lepers, the woman with the issue of blood, she was able to touch Jesus Christ right there. He didn't have to go through anybody. Just touch Jesus Christ. Just reach out to him. How will you say, it speaketh unto men? What are you seeking? He that prayeth in an unknown tongue speaketh unto God, not unto man. We speak in tongues. Satan is confused forever and ever. Amen. We speak in tongues. Satan is confused because Satan does not know what you are talking about. When you are speaking in tongues, you are now speaking directly to God. Satan does not know what you are talking about. We speak in tongues. Satan is confused forever and ever. Amen. See? So the gift of speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, they are all very important. The 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. We need to ask God for the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit because we need these gifts for ministry. We need these gifts to be able to do the work of the Lord effectively, to be able to minister to people, to be able to win souls to the kingdom of God. We need the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're going to pray right now. We still have a couple of minutes. We have a couple of minutes. We're going to pray for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We need the gifts of the Holy Spirit to be more effective in ministry, in pastoring, evangelizing, and winning souls. We need the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I want to ask a question before we pray. If you somebody who needs the gifts of the Spirit, what should he do? Yes.
Yeah, attend the person who need a gift of the Holy Spirit must be holy first.
Yes.
Because the Spirit is holy. And secondly, too, you might be doing some kind of fasting and prayers to request for this kind of gift from God. That is my understanding.
Yes. Pastor Raphael, somebody who needs the gift of the Spirit, what should he or she do? The gift, we're talking about the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. Somebody who needs the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit in order to be effective in ministry, what should the person do?
If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the winds and tosses. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A doubtful man, dead man, is unstable in all his way. Let a brother of the Lord decree.
All right.
Continue.
If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally. You ask in faith, nothing wavering. So we ask God to give us the gift of the Spirit. Jesus said, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock, it shall be opened unto you. He that asketh, receiveth; he that seeketh, find; he that knocketh, it shall be opened unto him. So we're going to pray. We have a couple of minutes. We're going to ask God for the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul said, I have all the gifts of the Spirit. Oh, yes. We today, we can have the gifts of the Spirit. We can have all the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. Yes. Because God said you can ask. And the purpose of our asking is we want to use it to win souls to the kingdom of God. We are not asking for selfish reasons. We are asking that we will be able to minister more effectively and reach out to people more effectively and bring souls into the kingdom of God. That's what it's all about. So we're going to pray right now that the Lord will give us the fruits of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. Yes, shall we pray in the name of Jesus? Everybody join us, those on social media, those joining on phone, those joining on... go ahead and pray, everybody, please. We need the gifts of the Spirit. Yes,
give
in the name of Jesus.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Yeah, blondo. We need the gift of the Spirit. The 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. The 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. God impart into our lives. We impart them to our ministries right now. We need to be able to function in the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus,
give her a spirit of faith in the name of Jesus. I will give her a spirit of faith. I will ask all these
spirits.
Give her a power and a baby. Give her a spirit of love. But I will need a person. Give her a spirit of prophecy. Jesus, Lord, bless your Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. We thank you, O Lord, for the Spirit in the name of Jesus. Bless you, O Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, Amen. Lord. To be able to function in the fruits of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity for us to ask for the 9 gifts of the Spirit. God, we ask for the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. The 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gift of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the gift of faith, the gift of healing, the gift of miracles, the gift of prophecy, design of spirits, diverse tongues, interpretation of tongues. God, impart those gifts into our lives, our ministries, that we might be able to function with those gifts in the name of Jesus Christ. God, we thank you that the 9 gifts of the Spirit have been imparted to us tonight. And by your special grace, we shall function with them effectively in order to bring souls to your kingdom. We thank you, Lord. We give you praise, glory, honor, and adoration. In the name of Jesus Christ, we have prayed. Amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. Yes, I want to thank every one of you who joined us in this Rhema Bible class online today. We're going to continue on Saturday and Sunday, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. daily. We want you all to join, as many church workers, church leaders, evangelists, pastors, apostles, and ministers of the gospel, and deacons, deaconesses, and elders, and people who want to be used of God. Just key in, you know, every Saturday, Sunday, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m., you just dial the number, area code 515-602-9635, and join us. I tell you, God is doing a new thing in the lives of the people. And yeah, we don't charge fees. We just allow people to give offerings as the Spirit of God lead them. You are not compelled. Let God lead you, and God rewards you in the name of Jesus Christ. I want to thank God for every one of you in the name of Jesus. We have 4 minutes more. We have 4 minutes more. Pastor Raphael, do you want to sing a song in Swahili? You want to sing a gospel song in Swahili, and then Pastor Ivan, I'm going to sing a Ghanaian song with him. Yes, you want to sing a song in Swahili while you are thinking about one? Let me and Ivan, we sing. Pastor Ivan, can you help me with this song? I may not help me to get it correctly. Osawaye ya, osawaye, Jesu Christi, beriwaye ye. You know how to sing that?
Yeah.
Sing it correctly for me. Yeah.
Mechania waya osa ye Yesu Christo osa ye Yesu Christo waya waya osa ye Yesu Christo
very waya. So Pastor Robert, sing in Swahili. In Kenya, do you people sing? Yes. You sing in Swahili?
Yeah, we sing in Swahili.
Yes, yeah, sing
in our mother church. So, not that the songs that we normally sing.
Yes, yeah, sing in Swahili. Okay. Sing in Swahili for us. Let's see.
Let's sing for one for you in Swahili.
Yeah.
Baba,
yes, hallelujah, hallelujah. That is very interesting. Amen. So, let's say the grace. Let's say the grace in fellowship. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Shall follow us all the days of our life, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you.
Yeah, I will be driving down there now.
All right. I'll see you soon. All right. Thank you so much. Be sure. God bless you. See you.
All right. All right.
Okay.
Yes.
Archbishop,
bless you. Bless you. Bless you.
Thanks a lot for your teachings. And then may God bless you abundantly so that we may meet at the other time next Sunday.
Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Greet your family and greet all your people. God bless you all. Thank you so much for being a part of this program in the name of Jesus. God bless you all in Jesus' name.
Amen. No, man.